Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this absolute privilege that we have, God, to worship you in public, Lord, and openly without any fear. God, we thank you that you have paid the highest price so that we can know you, Lord, so that we can enter your presence, so that we can draw near, Lord. And this evening we draw near with gladness of heart, Lord, with an expectation, Lord, and with such a profound sense, Lord, of yes, Lord, that you've paid a high price that we can come into your presence, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we consecrate this time to you. We lay down distractions, God, and anxieties, and we say, Lord, we trust you with all that stuff, God. And we say, Lord, we are here, we are present to you, hear your voice, to worship you, and to be transformed into the image of your Son, God. Have your way in us, and let your name be glorified this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. You might notice that our one projector is in a bit of rebellion. This one. It looks better now because this is not a lot of color in this one. But in any case, we're working on it. So hopefully we'll get it into submission again soon. Let's read from Matthew chapter 4, 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. A lot of places in Scripture, in the Gospels, we see where people brought sick people and people with all kinds of afflictions to Jesus, and many times it says, and he healed them all. Crazy signs and wonders happening all around the ministry of Jesus. And we see that from early on, people were recognizing this. This is not a normal, just a prophet. This is not just a priest. This is something else. This is something else that God is doing here. And they recognize that Jesus is from God. And people started following him all over the place. It says here that his fame went throughout all Syria. So quite quickly, the word spread about the miracles and the signs and the wonders that were happening, that we see marking the life of Jesus. And Most of the Gospels, we see this all over. We see signs and wonders and miracles. And there's this one specific instance where something else happened, which I want to look at a little bit this evening. So let's look at the next one. Something out of the ordinary from Mark chapter 6. And then he went out from there and he came to his own country where he grew up. And his disciples followed him, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. You see an incredible thing happening here. We see that God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, was restrained by something that happened here. He could do no mighty work there, well, except for healing a couple of people, which now is an incredible, a mighty work in any case. But it's clear here that Scripture says that because of the the way he was received, he could do no mighty work there. He was constrained in a way, and he could not do what he was doing all over the place and other places. And then it says, he marveled because of their unbelief. Now, there are a couple of things at work here, and I believe that the thing that didn't happen here is a key for us as a church, for us as believers, for us as a church family, and to really walk in the fullness of what God has prepared for us. So what we're talking about here this evening is the concept of honoring and receiving someone and honoring someone. And what we see here is, although in general people were expecting a political liberator, and Philip has mentioned this a couple of times last while, and the expectation that people had of the Messiah was one that would deliver them from the hands of the Romans, one that would, you know, be their king and would reign over the nation of Israel, and it's going to be amazing. So that in itself was a challenge, because Jesus did not, that, you know, they were interpreting scripture to suit their kind of desire and their hopes, and that they were kind of hoping for. But specifically in this town, we see an added dynamic here. The dynamic of that familiarity. We know this guy. Isn't this the guy that is the carpenter? And yeah, man, his brother was in my class. And yeah, his sister just lives down the road. So they recognized Jesus. And they thought, no, but he grew up here among us. And that familiarity caused them, yeah, as Jesus says, to dishonor him in their hearts. And we see the dynamic happening here, that because of this dishonor in their hearts, because of them not acknowledging that Jesus is actually from God, at least, caused them to be able not to do, you know, not to be the blessing that he was supposed to be for them in that area, as he was in all the other areas. Can you see this happening here? So we see this dynamic here, that because the honoring was missing, that the whole area missed out on the blessing that they were supposed to receive. So let's have a look at a couple of other scriptures around this. Before we read the next one, now, honoring is an interesting concept, as if it is in the way that honor is one of those things that you cannot demand from somebody. It's not something that you can take from someone. You agree? It's something that is given. It's something that is, it's a hard condition towards somebody. It is something, though, that we can teach our children. It's something that we can impart to the next generation. And I really feel convicted that as church and as families and parents and prospective parents, and that this is something that we really need to take to heart in terms of equipping the next generation, because the society around us, specifically in the West, has lost that culture of honoring. Do you agree? I remember when growing up, there was quite serious repercussions if you were to dishonor an adult or call them by their first name or something like that. You would just be blessed with a fivefold ministry, and the revelation of your mistake would be very swift, you know. Is it hot in here, or is it just me? You guys have got fans there. Can you guys open those things, make them more open? Yeah, like this. Those shutters on the side there. Yeah, there we go. Get the air going through, thank you. And so we grew up with that concept of, you know, you honor your elders, there's a respect that you were taught from an early age. And I remember, at times, meet some of my friends from a different background would call adults on their first name, and I would be like, you know, I was being already. but we've lost a lot of that. You agree? There's a lot of that honoring culture that we've lost. So that's really, I feel, something that we can really trust God for. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 13 from 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. Is this a challenging scripture? I find it challenging. There's a lot of things in here. I can't stand still at it too long. But in terms of us honoring and being in submission to authority, God expects of us to be subject to the governing authorities. And there are a few phrases here that are extremely challenging. One is that there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And immediately our minds go to the extremes. You know, what about Hitler? What about this guy and this guy? Can it be true? Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God and will bring judgment upon themselves. Now, whenever the Bible speaks about stuff like that, you know, judgment upon themselves, I read carefully, just double check, because that's not something you want to do. You're with me? You do not want to bring judgment, unnecessary judgment upon yourself, okay? So, there's a very important point that is made here about how we relate to the authorities that God has put us, over us. Now, there are a couple of different spheres of authority we can look at. The one is civil authority. So that's the government that is in place over our nation. Civil authority, a police service, all that stuff falls under that. Even stuff like the traffic police. I don't know, this might be bad news to somebody this evening. But even stuff like the speed limit. And I have to confess, sometimes I take that as a suggestion. But if we have to go and be serious about this, then that even that is appointed by God. All right? So that's civil authority. We've got church authority, spiritual authority, and then we have family authority. You know, governments in the family context, absolutely crucial for us because that's where it starts, right? And then we have social authority. So that's, you know, in your workplace or whether you're studying or at school, there's different authority figures that we have over us that we don't really choose always, but they are there. And so God requires of us to be subject to these authorities. And we're going to have a look at what it means to actually honor authority. Okay, so in terms of submission to authority and submission to any of these spheres of authority. And it's important not to confuse them, right? They've got their place, each of them. So if somebody is in a civil authority, it doesn't mean he has a lot of say in my family. Are you with me? So that's why it's not cool for the government to tell me how I must raise my children and stuff like that. In any case. So it's important to distinguish between them. But if we're thinking around the concept of submission and honoring, I just wanted to distinguish between three levels, if you can call it, levels of submission. The first one is, if you can think of the scenario of, now my children will never do this kind of thing, they are amazing. Say if little Johnny is sitting at the dinner table and his dad tells, when he's not sitting, he's standing on his chair. He's decided today is a day for standing at the dinner table. So he's standing on his chair and his daddy says, Johnny, sit down. And Johnny says, no, I won't. And then the dad has to repeat himself. Now that's a bad move right from the start there. But the dad has to repeat himself and he says, Johnny, sit down or else. And then, you know, the line is drawn. And Johnny, maybe he's 3 or 2 or something, Johnny realizes that if he remembers correctly, the last time he crossed that line, there was a repercussion effect that on this area of his body over here. So he recognizes that, okay, I'm going to have to give in here because I know what Dad says is going to happen. I mean, praise God, it should be like that. So Johnny says, sits down. He says to his dad, Daddy, I'm sitting down, but on the inside, I'm standing up. Okay? If you're laughing, you've not seen this in action. Okay, so but that is the first level of submission. It's when we comply, but we're not really keen, and we're not convinced. And so there's an obedience. Some of us treat the speed limit like that. there's an obedience, but there's no heart submission. Are you with me? So yes, I'm complying, but actually I'm not blessed with this. I'm not doing it willingly. I'm just avoiding the pain of not complying, all right? That's the first level. Now, the second level of submission is when I understand this thing. I understand that this authority is from God. I understand that it's a blessing. I understand that by submitting myself to this authority, I am submitting myself to God. There's a blessing there. I understand the concept. Even though I might not like the person, even though it's like when I was in the Defense Force, you might not agree with the rank or the person, or you might not agree with the person, you might not even like the person, but you recognize the rank that they carry, you submit to that rank, and you do it wholeheartedly because you understand how it works. That's the second level, right? But then I want to say to us, guys, I believe God is calling us to another place. He doesn't only want us to have biblical, wholehearted submission in our hearts, but he also wants us to be to a point where we proactively honor those that he has put in authority over us. In other words, not only do I have godly respect and submission in my heart, but I also say, God, how can I proactively, in other words, now I'm not just receiving instructions or, you know, responding, I'm actually being proactive. I'm saying, Lord, how can I honor this person in authority over me? How can I pray for them? If it's the president or the government or somebody that I don't have contact with regularly, how can I honor this person? I would say, yeah, it's a good place to start. Amen? Well, there was one amen, I heard it. What am I saying about this person? What am I not saying? Watching my mouth is a good place to start. But that's one of the low levels. The honoring part is where I deliberately speak life, where I deliberately speak honor, where I deliberately pray the will and the purposes of God. Amen? Well, you guys aren't convinced. We'll get there. All right. This is the Bible, okay? It's not me saying this. I mean, so there's a place where I believe God is calling us to a lifestyle of deliberate honoring, proactive honoring of people that God has put in authority over us, starting from the home. So let's look at that for a moment. Matthew 10. Actually, let's skip Matthew 10. Let's go to the next one. We'll come back. Matthew 10, thanks. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Guys, you must understand the context of the day. This is heavy stuff. He's saying, even if you're a slave, and that means you have zero rights, nothing. You are somebody else's possession. You've been bought with money. And you belong to somebody else to do whatever they want. Even as a slave, it says here, serve, be obedient with fear and trembling, sincerity of heart as to Christ. And the powerful promise that he is making here is that anyone, what anyone does, any good he does, he will receive the same from the Lord. Isn't that amazing? In the same way you're going to be serving that master or that person of authority, you can expect that same blessing back from God. But there's a lot of promises in here. Have you noticed that there's some books out there that just have all the promises in the Bible? Have you seen them? Incredible. They've went and searched the scriptures. They've pulled out all the promises in the Word, which is really blessed. And they've written down all the promises, and you can just open that book, and it's full of promises from God. The only challenge is that the guys often just take the promise part of the scripture, and then they leave out the rest, which actually makes it a problem, because the promise often has a premise. Okay, in this case, they might say, it may be well with you, and may you live long on the earth. And you say, yes, I receive it. I claim it. How does it go? I take that promise, and you go for it. But you don't realize that the premise to this promise is for you and I to honor our father and mother. Then we will live long. So just remember that most promises in Scripture have a premise. But the blessing here that we see is that God actually says there is a reward, there is a promise when you and I get this honoring thing. When we understand right from the family that when we position ourselves in the right place towards those that He has put in authority over us, we can expect a blessing from God. Isn't that exciting? Right from the home, that's where it starts, by obeying our parents. And I really felt preparing that there's a couple of us here this evening that are going to have to trust God to. Maybe at the time, end of the year time is a good time. Often we see family or we have a bit of free time. We've done that last night. Even we've taken time out to honor people and to bless people. I've felt there's a couple of us that are going to have homework after this evening to really trust God. When we do see our family, maybe specifically parents, that we trust God to proactively honor them. And we can pray about that afterwards. But I really feel there's a couple of us that are going to have to trust God for restoring, to restore relationships and to find opportunities to honor our parents. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10. And just before we read this, when we talk about the concept of honoring, the word there refers to a weight value ascribed to something. In other words, it means how do we value somebody else? So honoring means when you honor a person, I value them and I ascribe value to that person. So that's what we're talking about. And so in the way I speak to them and the way I receive them and the way I interact with them, I ascribe value. Does that make sense? Yes? Amen. All right. Matthew 10 from verse 40. He who receives you receives me. This is Jesus speaking. He who receives me receives him who sent me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. We like this reward thing, eh? Amen. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Powerful promises here, guys. And I've seen this in action in incredible ways. God is saying to us, guys, the way we treat one another and the way we receive the blessings that He sends across our path in the form of people, the way we deal with those blessings that God sends toward us is going to determine the blessing that we receive. It's going to determine the measure of the blessing we are able to receive from that person. Does that make sense? And I've seen this happening in missions, and often people ask about this. If we take mission teams to Asia or up into Africa. And you know what? We see incredible things. The other night, again, we've heard all these testimonies of miracles and signs and wonders, stuff that happens. People get healed incredibly. I mean, I remember, you know, words of knowledge coming on, up in Africa, and every single person gets healed. And then often people ask me, why, how is it that when we go to Africa or to Asia, that we have this incredible response and these incredible miracles happening? But when we minister locally, yes, there are healings, yes, there are miracles happening, but not to that extent. People have often asked me, and I believe one of the things, it could be many, but one of the things is the way that people receive us when we go. Because of the culture in Africa and the culture in Asia specifically, is such an honoring culture. In fact, sometimes it's a bit embarrassing. Because you go to serve somebody, you go as a young person to go and serve at a church or go and minister, you know, and the people there are heroes in the faith, you know, way older than us spiritually and physically. But the way that we are received opens the door for the blessing of God. Amen? And we see miracles like we don't see often at home. But there, we should be learning something from that because of the way they receive us. I remember in India doing house visits with our team. And we visited some of the poorest of the poor. Actually, in Indian terms, these probably were not the poorest because they had homes. But we remember going into the house, and then people would bring out the snacks. And you sit there and you realize that they've probably spent most of their week's grocery budget on just providing you with little snacks. And by the fifth home visit, I don't know about you, but I cannot take any more snacks. It's like, yeah. The problem was that specific day is we had our farewell dinner there for lunch. So we almost sinned. We ate so much. Then we went to house visits. And by the fourth or fifth one, it was hectic. But the blessing was that they opened their homes and they provided amazing, amazing stuff. And you could see they have really done this sacrificially. And so there's an incredible principle there. Then the way that we receive someone, the way that we receive it, opens a door for us to receive that reward from God. Isn't that exciting? But I believe that God wants us to take this home and make this a culture in us as a church family, in our homes, in our friendships, so that we can walk in the fullness that God has prepared for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So one of the areas I believe this is very important, like I said, it starts in the home, but there's a couple of people here that I believe would like to get married one day. Is that right? Yes, there's one at the back. Okay. We can organize something. Okay, cool. But around marriage, obviously, honoring is absolutely crucial. I believe that the way we value each other is the base, should be the foundation of any friendship. But when one gets to marriage, this is something that I really was convicted about when we were getting married. This is almost 10 years ago. So, yeah, December, hallelujah. At the last reunion I went to, I was engaged. So now it's amazing, it's important for us to look back and see what God has done. I mean, 10 years, 3 children, a couple of continents in between. God is good. Anyway, let's not get distracted. Too late. Okay. Right, so around getting married, okay. So I remember when we were planning our wedding, and, you know, obviously you've got big plans and the not-so-big budget, you know, you have to make them to work together. And I remember having a conviction about this that is important for us, and I haven't done any weddings in Shofar Pretoria yet, so I'm going to say this without feeling weird about it, but it's important for us to make space in our budget to honor those that are going to be ministering on the day. Amen. Whether it's the band, whether it's the pastor, how much more is the word that God is going to speak over your marriage, the word that is going to be sown into you, the word that is, and the ministry that's going to happen on that day, how valuable is that to you and I? And how much of that reward are we coveting for our marriage? So we wrestled through that and we realized, listen, this is big stuff. We want to trust God to really value what God wants to do on that day. So we're going to put some part of our budget aside. It's going to be a massive faith stretch for us. But we said, let's do this properly. And I tell you guys, Lord provided in abundance. Because we set out our faith so we can honor the guys that will be ministering there, so that we can open the door to receive that blessing. Amen. So take it as a tip. Make a plan. Honor the people in your wedding day. And specifically in terms of family, guys, when we get married, what an incredible opportunity. I don't know about you guys, but we don't have both sides of the family together often. Hey? It's one of those opportunities that it's almost once in a lifetime where you've got both sides of the family, hopefully most of them there. What an incredible opportunity to honor your parents, maybe siblings, people that you need to honor, people that you need to bless in front of people publicly. So I want to encourage you, make an effort. Take hold of those opportunities to honor. Are you with me? Okay, so around us getting married, around marriage, in the home, that's where it starts. Let's have a look here. So we see here the concept of us receiving a prophet, receiving a righteous man, even when we serve. It says, he speaks about whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water. So how do we respond even to children, to people that we're ministering to, how we value those people that God sends out across our path? Is this either opens the door for us to receive a reward or it closes the door. And I remember John Bevere, he wrote a book about this, which I can recommend. It's called Honor's Reward. And he relates a story of when he was a youth pastor, and one of the youth came up to him and he said, Pastor John, can we be buddies? He basically said, can we be buddies? Are you my buddy? And then, you know, he paused for a moment and he said, Freddie, it's up to you. Do you want to receive a buddy's reward? Or do you want to receive the youth pastor or pastor's reward? And he didn't think very long. He says, no, I want to receive a pastor's reward. And you see the principle there, that the way we respond to somebody, the way we honor somebody, is going to determine the blessing that we receive from that person. And I've found, by the grace of God, that if I receive the blessing that is in somebody, doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter where they come from, sometimes even maybe speakers or somebody that I've seen on television or somebody that I've read a book for, and maybe I've got a little bit of reservations about their theology, you know, but I found that if I keep my heart pure and I say, Lord, whatever you want to minister through this person, I'm willing to receive, whether it's a new member in church or a visitor or whoever, my heart is open to receive whatever blessing you have. Guys, and I found that the Lord surprises me by the way that he speaks through the most unlikely people. Are you with me this evening? Because of that place where we keep our hearts pure and we honor in the way we receive somebody. We receive ministry from somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's look at the last scripture there. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, that have removed their hearts far from me. And when I look at society around us, and specifically again in the Western context, isn't it true that we grow up in a society where it's the done thing to pay lip service, to make sure that everything looks right? In other words, I will tell my boss the right things. I will just make sure it sounds all good and fine, but behind his back, there's a different story. Or the same with my lecturer, maybe. Or there's this culture of, you know what, as long as it all looks fine on the up front, or the facade that I'm putting up, nobody cares what's going on behind closed doors. But that is not godly. Amen. And that's even crept into the way we worship God. And I want to say to us, I believe God is calling us back to a place where we are even starting with our worship towards God, how we deal with God, how we interact with Him, how we respond to Him, how we respond to the Holy Spirit, that it will be something that is where our hearts are not far from Him. Amen? Where it's not just lip service, where it's not just something that I'm trying to keep up a pretty facade. But there where our hearts are close and our hearts are pure before Him. And that will flow over into our relationships where we will be recognized by the world in terms of not being somebody who just pays the lip service and then we go around the corner and then there's something else happening. And I want to really challenge us, specifically around work situations. Guys, I understand these tough situations out there. We don't even have to speak about the political situation in this. There's tough challenges here. The stuff that, this feels to us, there's injustice happening, there's all kinds of stuff happening, and it's so easy for us to find our hearts dishonoring authority that's been put over us. And now, guys, I remember in the Defense Force, some of those physical training instructors we had, it's it really takes a lot of godliness not to have a grudge against somebody like that, because they make you do crazy things, and you can't really disobey. But there's amazing what the blessing that comes when you and I choose to respond in a godly way. And I feel that maybe this is a word for somebody this evening, that if you're sitting with a work situation where there's a challenging situation between you and somebody in authority over you, the person is clearly in the wrong maybe, or there's clear injustice happening or something in that line, know that what God requires of you and I is nothing to do with that person's. That person, whether it be your boss at work, or the president of our nation, or a governing people in government, they are going to be standing in front of God one day, giving an account. Amen? In the same way that I, as a dad, are going to be standing in front of God one day, giving an account of what did I do with the authority that God has put in my hands, in my family, in different spheres? So yes, that person is going to give an account, but you and I will have to give an account of our hearts and our response to that person. Are you with me? So I believe God is giving us grace this evening to say, Lord, I need your grace. I need your grace so that I can humble myself. It happens the other way around. Humble myself first, then receive grace. Amen? So that I can truly honor those that you've put in authority over me. I was chatting to somebody earlier, and I really believe this is something where that humbling ourselves is an important part. But isn't it these days everybody wants to stand on our rights, and we want to make waves, and we want to make sure we stand on our rights, our human rights, and all kinds of other rights. But in Christ, He calls us to humble ourselves before the Almighty God. Amen? And to honor those in authority, to honor even those that seem like ungodly authority. Okay. We're going to have communion this evening. So if the guys can get the communion so long, we're going to take some time to pray. But as we do that, just a reminder, we're going to We're going to spend some time praying and fasting tomorrow together. First Monday prayer. Please join us. If you have never joined us, now's your chance. We're going to fast for the day. We're going to come together in the evening at 6:30 down here at the kiosk and just see God's face together. It's really an incredible time. So please join us there. What I have in my heart in terms of prayer this evening is, like I said before, I feel there's some of us that are going to have to make time to go and trust God to restore family relationships. Some of us, maybe you haven't spoken to parents or some parts of your family. Maybe it's been months or even years. Guys, that breaks God's heart. I don't know about you, but I want to live long. And I really feel God wants to empower us this evening to go humble ourselves, be the lesser person, even if the other person is in the wrong, to humble us. Yes, you guys can hand out the communion song. Actually, let's stand while the guys hand out the communion. So firstly, I'm trusting Holy Spirit to bring conviction now. If there's a couple of people here this evening that need to go and fix relationships, trust God to restore relationship with parents, maybe with siblings, maybe extended family, but with places where things have gone wrong or things have, there's been a break in relationship or trust. And it's, I don't know, there's a tendency for us to think, no, but they're the older person, or they're this, or they must do, come first, or they must. I feel tonight God is saying, no, humble yourself. If there's unforgiveness, the picture I had for somebody this morning is this massive chain around them that is keeping them right where they are, struggling to grow spiritually, struggling to flourish in what God has prepared for them, because of unforgiveness towards a family member, towards a parent. Guys, the unforgiveness, it's one of those weird things. It's like offense. The other person doesn't have a clue. But you and I suffer. You and I are bound to our past because of that chain that binds us. Until you and I humble ourselves and say, Lord, freely I have received forgiveness from you. Undeserved forgiveness. Freely I've received from you, so thank you that I can freely give. And forgiveness is never a feeling, guys. Let me just put that out there. Forgiveness is a choice. Where you and I choose to be obedient to the scripture. Say, Lord, freely I've been forgiven. I choose to forgive in the same way. So the second thing I felt is our hearts toward our government, whether it be local or national. I just feel God is challenging us. If we're really going to be salt and light in our community, if we're really going to be those interceding for our nation, seeing God respond to our prayers, guys, our hearts need to be pure before Him. Are you with me this evening? This is a big challenge, guys. I don't believe it's possible in our own strength, but I believe that if we... If we really tap into that grace, you know what happens when you and I honor, when we choose in our hearts to honor somebody? It enables us to hear the voice of God, to hear the heart of God for that person. But if there's unforgiveness and if there's all kinds of other stuff in the way, it's so difficult for us to really engage the heart of God for that person. Can you agree? So in terms of government, and also I feel in terms of work relationships. Maybe there's somebody here that the Holy Spirit is just putting His finger on something. believe God is giving us grace to humble ourselves first, to say, yes, you know what, there might be a lot of stuff wrong, but I'm going to choose to honor. I'm going to choose to deliberately go out of my way to honor, to respect, to honor those in authority. Amen. Let's just let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can stand before you, Lord, without fear because of the blood of Jesus, Lord. Without fear of rejection, Lord. Without fear of condemnation. That we know that your word says that there's no more condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for the blood this evening. We thank you that you've paid the price, Lord, that we can come boldly into your presence. Father, and I thank you even this evening, Lord, that you're speaking to a lot of hearts here. You know every one of us so intimately. You know every situation, Lord. You know every doubt and every fear. I just feel there's somebody here this evening that has been wrestling with questions, even this week, even today. You've been wrestling with doubts about who God is, about his existence. I feel this evening the Lord wants to say, I know you, my child, I know you. I know you, the battles going on in your mind and in your heart. I know the stuff that has happened in the past, the stuff that has brought a lot of hurt. But I've made provision. And it was not my will for you to go through all of that stuff, but I could turn it around if you let me. If you let me in, I can bring healing and I can bring restoration. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you know each one so intimately. Yes, God, and as every eye is closed here this evening, if you hear, maybe you're visiting or maybe you've been in church all your life, but you have not got an assurance of your salvation this evening. You've heard that it is possible to have an assurance, but where you are right now, you're not convinced that you are going to be in eternity with God. Or maybe you've been around church a lot and maybe you've drifted away. Maybe stuff has happened, life has happened, lots of things have happened, and you find yourself far from God this evening. And you know, Holy Spirit is pressing on your heart right now. You know that you must make things right with God. He's calling you back. He's saying, my son, my daughter, I want you to come home. I love you so much. I want you to come back. If that's you this evening, whether you've never had a relationship with God or whether you've drifted away, you know this evening you need to make right with him. While every eye is closed, won't you slip up your hand? I'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? Holy Spirit is wrestling. There's a wrestling going on in your heart maybe this evening.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.